Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us in South Carolina on this bright, sunny Sunday
Overcast.
Morning.
That's right.
Let's praise and worship the Lord.
As you are to worship,
Good morning. I missed my cue a little bit there. Way too many moving parts this morning. Well, praise God. Looks like we're up on the internet, and we got some folks here. So let's hear the word. Let's turn over to Mark 11. I'm going to read 22. Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Do we need to do that one more time? Have faith in God. Is that clear enough? Even for those up there in the cheap seats, we got that. But isn't that really what it comes down to? It's really what it comes down to. Have faith in God. Each of us, gosh, we put, you know, I know Charlie, Brother Charlie's talked about it, that measure of faith that's been given to each and every one of us. Everybody's got the same amount. The problem is we scatter it out and throughout the world. We put faith into all kinds of different crazy things. And we don't have enough faith left to give it to God. But we need to gather all that faith back and put it where it's supposed to be. And that's in Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Amen. There's no wiggle room there. No faith equals impossible to please God. If you're a believer, if you call yourself a Christian, you're saying that you have faith in Him. The actions, the things that you do as you live your lives, there might be an issue there too, you know, that shows that you don't. What is it that's holding you back? What's the thing, or many things? Find out what those things are and shed yourself of them. Get rid of those things. Put your faith in God. In the beginning of this chapter, I'm going to read 2, verse 2. Chapter 11, verse 2 of Mark. And saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway, he will send him hither. Jesus is telling a couple of the disciples, you know, go into town. There's this colt. Go get him. Untie him. Bring him. If anybody's got a problem with it, tell them I sent you. I told you to do it. And what did they do? They did it. It's that simple. But see, when I read this, something kind of clicked for me. Sure, this is a story about a colt. I get that. But it's about each and every one of us as well. Before He can use you, you have to be loosed. You gotta be untied. You gotta be set free. God can't use you if you're all tied up, if you're all bound up with the things of this world. You need to be set free. That's why he died for you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he makes a promise to you. All you need to do is have faith in him and move forward in that. I'm going to jump over to 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. It's talking about faith. Especially that verse 24. I mean, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but not seen. If you have the faith to believe that Jesus can set you free, the truth can set you free, that he can loose you from the bonds that bind you up, it's all you need. It's all you need. If you're a believer in and on Jesus Christ, whatsoever you loose in this world is also loosed in heaven. And whatsoever you bind up in this world is also bound. In 23 we see, I'll start again. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Doubt. We're good at doubt in the natural. And he's telling us here that we got to get rid of that. Doubt is not faith. Shed yourselves of that doubt. Put that faith in God. Trust him. Believe him. And he shall set you free.
Good morning. You know, as I'm going through, I'm looking through scriptures, looking at the... I was looking at Galatians, I'm looking at John, I'm looking at Psalm 51, I'm looking at all these verses here, and what comes down to be, and what happens a lot of times with folks is, we do it within ourselves, is that there's some way that we can formulate some kind of way that we are good in some kind of way. I mean, you hear it out there all the time, right? This isn't a news flash. I mean, I just go hang out at, go to my workplace for a little bit. I mean, all you hear is, they're not literally saying it, but all you hear is, I'm good, they're bad. I'm good, they're bad. I'm good, they're bad. And the truth of the matter is that we're all bad. The truth of the matter is we're all sinners. And there's nothing that you can do. And that's the biggest hang up. That's the biggest thing that man has been struggling with. Why do you think there's so many freaking religions out there? Why do you think there's that morale list that goes out to try to make yourself good? And it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. You know, and I was just reading in John 15, and it says in John 15, chapter 3, it says, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Now, at what part of that did the disciples sit down and go, at what part of that did Jesus say, well, you are clean because, you know, you're just so good? You don't see it. What made the children of Israel righteous and they went and took on the promised land? They believed God. What made Abraham righteous? He believed God. What made David righteous? Believed God. Moses, and go on down the line. It's not by any of their works in the sense. They acted out of obedience because they did believe the Lord. That is truth. But what the thing that is going to save you, and the only thing that's going to save you, is Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross. Amen. And the fulfillment of what He had accomplished. I mean, that's it. And we believe and we trust in that. That covers us. That covers us. Nothing else. And if you think you're good in some kind of way, you're not. You're not going to go to heaven by your goodness. The only way you will enter into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is by what He has done. And you believe and you trust on that. Now, for some people, this is a hard concept. What does it say? I mean, doesn't it say it's preaching is foolishness with men? I mean, but look at the relief of that. I mean, because I tell you, quite frankly, if it was based on my goodness or how good I had to be, or perform, or whatever the case may be, then I am done and there's no hope for me. I don't know about you, but I'm a very incapable, I'm just an idiot when it comes down to all kinds of things. But you talk about the more than the fairness of God, where He sent His Son down to die in our stead, that we can have a chance, that we can enter into what He has for us. I mean, that's an awesome thing. I don't know, to me it's good news. To some that's trying to build their empire, it's bad news. To some that has been plugging away at their life of trying to be good and earn themselves into heaven, it's really an offense to them. I mean, look at the Pharisees. They were absolutely offended. Why were they so offended? Because, man, when it came to the law, oh, boy, they did it. And it was all about making themselves righteous. And that's why you got all these religions out there. And it's just a man's concept of trying to make themselves righteous. They can't. It can't happen. It's not going to happen. The only way you're going to be righteous is if you believe on what He has done, what He has accomplished, and that the blood on that cross and that sacrifice was sufficient. Amen. I look at the lives that are turned around just in this room. The lives that were turned around in this room was not based on any good thing they had done. Not anything good thing they had done. It was absolutely because they had fallen down flat on their face, and they recognized they needed help and they didn't have any help until the gospel was preached unto them and they found their help, and it was Jesus Christ. It didn't happen because they were good. No, it happened because He was good, and they recognized their utter need for a Savior. And a mighty power to reach down and save them out of their situation. Look at David. Look at Psalm 51. David received grace. David received that blood of the Lamb. David received the vision of Jesus Christ going on that cross before it happened. But when you read Psalm 51, you recognize, you see that he has no other hope but in the Lord. Nothing else could save them. And he recognized that. And he was repentant of what he'd done. He recognized his failures. There was no excuse for him. He made no excuse. And he went before the Lord and begged the Lord for mercy. Because he knew that was the only place he could get it. Gosh, if we grab anything at all, let's grab that. And also in John 15, it says, he talks about, without me you can do nothing. At what time in that place, those that have a testimony of Jesus Christ working in their messed up situation that they created, at what point did they do anything to get themselves out? At what point did I do anything to get myself out of that situation? Me, myself, could not do a thing. It was a terrible situation. It was upside down, but the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done and the power in His blood turned that situation upside down, right side up, I should say. Forgive me. Let's not forget Him. Let's not forget what He's done. Actually have it steadfast in our mind. And it should be a faith booster. It should be something where we can go and do that which the Lord commanded, because it ain't based on our ability. It ain't based on our goodness. It ain't based on any of those things. It ain't based on our righteousness. It's based on His. It's based on what He has done. It's based on what He's able to do. He's able to do. And what He's able to do is far above we can ask or think. All He's saying is, turn to Me, believe Me, I'm here. Then you can go walk, stand up and minister to that to somebody else, because isn't that what it's about? And praise God, somebody loved me enough to tell me the gospel, tell me that there is a way out of my bondage, out of the mess I have caused, and that there was a way out. Praise God, that happened with Kat. Happened with Brad, Lisa, Scott, Linda, Andrew, Edmund, I mean, all of you, and the kids that don't, you haven't quite grasped that yet. You guys are a fruit of those things. The Lord's good.
Amen.
He's a loving Father. But He can't make you turn to Him. You have free will. You have free will. And you can go to that bondage way. You can continue to either make yourself, try to make yourself good or righteous or whatever. Or you can turn around and grab onto that old bondage. Well, it's the same thing. The old bondage that keeps you from going forward in Him, thinking you're not worthy. Well, you know, news, you're not going to be worthy. It was never about you being worthy. I mean, let's not forget what the Lord has done. It was a mess, remember? Where He cried out, Lord, help me. He answered. He brought us through. It's called a testimony. I remember years ago, I was in that situation, and here's hope, you know. We're married. We don't have a place to stay. I mean, it was great. I mean, I was living with my stepfather. Hope was living with her mom. I mean, we just had our stuff together, let me tell you. I tell you what. Some sarcasm there. Not at all. It was a mess. It was an absolute mess. And I remember my boss coming to me. He's talking about another guy that was in the same exact mess I was in. Same exact mess. You know, at that time I had gotten my job back before. I didn't even have a job. I mean, it was terrible. Homeless punk kid, 25 years old, staying at my stepfather's house. Pretty sad, isn't it? Sad. Should have learned something by then, but that's sad. But I got my job back, and this other kid was in the same situation I was, and I remember my boss going, and he goes, you know, Phil, that guy's just an idiot. Yeah, I know. I am too, though, George. I mean, you just got to remember, I wasn't in that same boat not too long ago. Yeah, but you had a plan. Had a what? You had a plan. And George, what kind of plan did I have? I didn't have a plan. Yeah, my plan was to get on my knees and say, Lord, help me, have mercy upon me. I have made a mess of a situation. And You're more righteous to strike me down right now. Because I turned against You and I turned against You and I turned against You. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me. Just have mercy. Just, I don't want to be left without You. And that's all that matters. Brand new home goes up. Hope and I get married. We have a family. You know, this, if you looked at my life, I mean, if y'all could take a glimpse at that thing, man, that thing was so messed up. I was so deep into drugs. I was messed up. See, that was never intended for me to have. See, out in this world, that me being married with kids was never intended for me out there in the world. Never. It's a miracle that I made it to 25. I should have been dead a long time ago. Because I did not care. And let me tell you, I looked at people's lives. I looked at the lives around my family. I looked at lives in it. And I'm looking at that life and I'm going, that life is terrible. I mean, I'm looking at that thing and I'm going, what I seen with my parents was pain, dysfunction, bust their tails and hurt, people backstabbing one another. I'm just going, this is what I got to look forward to. I might as well have fun on my way out. What's the point of that? And I hell bent, 12 years old, went out, and that's what I did. I tried to have as much fun as I possibly could. And let me tell you, it left a mess. And it wasn't fun. It was fun at first. But it damn near killed me. More than once. If it wasn't for God's hand, I would have been dead. More than once. But I tell you this because whatever it is that you're trying to hang on to, whether it be the law, and what I mean by the law, I'm not talking about the old Mosaic law, but that law, that list of law that you try to hang on to, that to make yourself good or righteous, whatever the case may be. I mean, throw it down. It's just a bondage. And it's no different bondage than my bondage back and hooked up on those drugs. It's not going to get you anywhere. Or if it's some place where you think you're just not worthy, you're not capable, you've been told you ain't going to amount for nothing in your life. You know what? It's not about you being worthy or capable or any of those things. It's about what the Lord can do in your life. Kids, y'all hear me? It's about what the Lord can do in y'all's life. Y'all simply choose Him. Doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are, what you can do, what you can't do. It's about how big He is. And you believe and you trust in that. You just make that choice to do it. Watch a move in your life. Repent on hanging on to those old things that you've been hanging on to. Let those things go and take on His life. It's an awesome thing. We're talking about a God that spoke things to existence. And He's out here right now. He's got His hand outstretched to you guys and saying, be a part of my plan. Now, I don't know about you, man. That's an awesome opportunity. I mean, I tell you what. What I thought was a great plan on doing my own thing and running my own way and having fun in my own life, that was terrible. That was no fun at all. And it almost killed me. But when I took a part of His plan, man, it was awesome. He gave me things that I never thought I could have. But even if He didn't give me those things, He still gave me a life far better than I ever had. And He's good and He's a loving Father. But let's repent the way we've been. That means change your mind. Let's grab a hold on to His life. Amen? Amen? But that first step is just getting down on your knees and actually repenting. Read Psalm 51 and repenting the way you've been. And grab a hold on to what He has.
Well, good morning, everybody. I had, as I was listening, it occurs to me that when we think of what Jesus is talking about in Mark 11:22, well, I don't know if we think. I don't have a mouse in my pocket. I am reminded of, like, Alien, any one of however many of the movies they made, or The Exorcist, in that this God that Jesus is pointing to, this Father, if all you do, all you need to do is believe in him, you can command a mountain be removed to the sea. Why? What's the connection to the Exorcist? Well, that's supernatural. That's a supernatural thing. And actually, it's not supernatural because there's nothing natural about God. God spoke nature into being. He is a spirit, not confined by the construct of time or space or anything else, because those are all creations is. Of course, then, and I'm not sure that there's any rationale to the way my mind works, but, you know, this is where my mind was going to. It kind of reminded me of the parable of wheat and the tares. You know, I spent a long time in the workforce, and I noticed that there wasn't a whole lot of difference between those who professed to be Christians and those who were just party animals or, you know, zealous about feeling good or acquiring power and position. That is the nature of man. That's where man's naturally fits. You know, and you watch people who are both in the workforce trying to acquire power and position and status in the minds of others. If you see that in your church, you got a problem. Because that's the opposite. That's pointing, everything pointing back to me. The word says that's idolatry. You know, you want to be in a living, breathing body that's actually seeking his kingdom and his righteousness and letting all these things that you need be added unto you. Believe in God. He reckons it to you as righteousness, not yours, his. That's where the beginning of the turnaround becomes. And then you've got this relationship here, the vertical straightened out. Now you got to start working on the horizontal. That's how you deal with others. Love God, love one another. That is the summation, Jesus says, of the law and the prophets. Love God, love one another. That's totally against the way we are in the natural. We are selfish. So just an example, because I was meditating on this in Philippians. Philippians, in that interesting verse in chapter 2, I guess I hit the floor with everything here again. It's all right, I'll get it. 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That doesn't really sound all that incisive. Incisive it is. It's take care of one another. Look out for one another. Love, that is love expressed for one another. It's not a love of being seen doing it and increasing your status in other people's eyes. It's a love of sometimes inconvenience. and long-suffering and everything else that you can come up with out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Sometimes it's not convenient to be looking out for other people. But it is the opposite of our natural corrupt state. And it's something we are able to do because He has loved us first. And it is the practical expression of the operation of the gospel in our lives. It gives us not just a word to minister, but substance to minister. The ability for me to show you Jesus through what I do. This is how He first loved us. It mattered to Him. That the people He interacted with and ministered to got it. And when they knew better and didn't acknowledge it anyway, He didn't have any time for them anymore. He kept taking it to those who were not so full and pleased of themselves. He offered the truth of His deliverance and love and salvation to all liberally, who all would hear it. That's our job. But the expression of how that practically changes us isn't being more concerned about other people's state than our own. That's how you show Jesus to other people. That you get an opportunity to do that is so counter to the natural state that we came in. That the idea that we get an opportunity to do that is so crazy good. And it unlocks to us the bounty of all that is in Christ Jesus in provision and love and concern for others. And it unlocks that same partaking to those who hear and receive. That's how good our Lord is. That's our job. In many ways, it's more important what you show other people than what you say. Because you can establish who you are and what you're about by what you do. Then you can augment it by what you say, because it now you're backing it up by what you do. But if you're just talking it and not doing it, why should anybody listen to you? People know whether you're loving, concerned individual who spends more time concerned about the needs and of others and that they do well and prosper in the Lord. They can see that all over you. So the question today is, what are you showing other people? Are you fully partaking of all that is the Lord? Are you fully ministering all that is the Lord? Not solely by what you say, but also and primarily by what you do. I can't even believe I'm saying that. That's so counter to what I brought into this deal. But that's how good our Lord is. That word from Steve about this is a place where you take and stop the way you were doing things and do the way the Lord says to do them. That's called repentance. A charge to accountability. To turn from the way you've been and do it the Lord's way. It's about whose agenda are you serving? Are you doing it like the Pharisees and everybody else in the world? About acquiring knowledge, power, and position? Sadly, much of today's church is just like that. If your church is like that, run! Find a body of believers that are pointing to Jesus and not to the cursed. The parable of the wheat and the tares. I'm done.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Cause your love came down, your love came down, your love came down, and it saved me, it saved me. Through many dangers, toils, and sins, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. 'Cause your love came down, your love came down, your love came down, and it saved me, it saved me. Though we've been there 10,000 years, by shining as the sun, we know there's days to sing our praise, and when we first begun. 'Cause your love came down, your love came down, your love.
Hallelujah.